Chayesoro ends with a happy ending. Vayivieho Yitzchak ha'ela Sarah imai, that Yitzchak brought Rivka into Sarah's tent. Vayikachas Rivka vatilo liisha vayehoveha. Vayinochem Yitzchak acharei imo. He loved her, and through her he found comfort for his mother's death. So he says, acharei imo derech eretz, kol zman she'ima shel odom kayemes koruchu etzla. Teva is that if you have a close relationship with the son and the mother, as long as the mother is alive, so he finds his optimism, whatever it is, through his mother. Umishemesa hu misnachem beishtar. And once she dies, so then he doesn't have the mother anymore. So hu misnachem beishtar. He finds comfort through his wife. Now it's really beautiful in a way, but when you think about it, it's not an easy thing to understand. Yitzchak was born when Sarah was 90 years old. She lived 127 years, so he knew her for 37 years. And now he's 37. So he knew Sarah as a mature Nevi'ah with a wisdom of almost 100 years later on. Well, it went on then till 127 in the house of Avraham Avinu, where the Malachim were Rogil, whatever Sarah was. I mean, we don't hear much about Sarah. But sorrow was sorrow. And that's whom he knew. And I guess that when she was alive, he was able to draw on the full complement of her wisdom, of her sanctity. Sorrow is lying in the Moros HaMachpelo next to Avraham. Nishlin Kleinigkeit. Now he marries a 3-year-old girl, brought up by Besuel with her brother Lavan, and he takes her home. And not only, like Rashi says, that there were all the things by Yevi'eh Oel of Nasis Dugma Soro Imai Kloima Vahari Soro Imai. She is Soro Imai. She calls man she Soro Kayemes Hoyoneh Doilek Merav Shabbos Merav Shabbos Brocha Metzuyu Beisa Vanan Kosh Aloha Umishumei So Pasku. No, so what does that mean? Like, I don't suppose that all these wonderful miracles happened when Sarah was I don't know how old she was when Avraham married her, but I guess you can work it out to some extent. If Avraham was 75 years old, it's not going to care so much the exact numbers. But did this happen right away, that the brocha was metzuyu beisa, that the ne doilek merav Shabbos? I would imagine that she grew into that she became the kind of holy person for whom there would be a brocha metzuyu beisa, there would be a ne doilek merav Shabbos, and so on. And now this 3-year-old young lady, I mean, okay, she was obviously more advanced than our 3-year-olds. I mean, she was already going to draw water by the well, and she had a seichel to go and be mashke the gemalim. Lo pashut kol kach. But for that thing, relative to Sarah, she can't have been. I imagine that we can understand that all these nisim returned in the sense, perhaps, that Vihine hi soro vahare hi soro ishtar. That's what it says. Oil soro imai. He brought her to the tent, and wow, suddenly soro imai was back again. Because she was Vinasis dugmas soro imai. Kloime vahare hi soro imai. Shukos manche soro kayemes, and so on. I imagine that means in terms of potential, that she was also like a neshama tahara. And although she was a young girl who hadn't had a chance yet to show her kedusha, to show her thing, but she was in a sense Sorah Imma. It would I imagine it means that it would have taken a little while. I don't know what else it could mean. Was she Zoicha at 3 years old to the same Nisim? I don't know. But harder for me to understand is the Vaye'e Hoveho. I mean, how does a 37-year-old man love a 3-year-old youngster and bring him comfort after his mother's death, whose guidance he needed, like we read the Rashi that we read earlier? He needed that guidance from Sorah, apparently. It's Koruch Acharei Imo. So now he has this 3-year-old to comfort. What is going on exactly? What is this inyan of Yitzchak loving this young girl? If we would say that he saw a potential and he was grateful to the Ribbono Shel Olam that he had led him to Rivka, and he saw that in the course of time there would be some husband-wife nature in their relationship. Don't only mean in the physical sense; I mean in the companionship sense. So that he would grow into love for her, but to love her as a child, I don't know exactly what it means. And that brings me to a question about Yitzchak and loving. Because you see throughout the Parshias that deal with Yitzchak, there's a lot of loving going on. And in a way, a very strange kind of loving. First he loves Esav. Yitzchak as Esav, Kitzayit Befiv, Rivka Heves as Yaakov. So even without the Rambans over there, Kitzayit Befiv, it's a strange. Ribbono Shel Olam hates Esav. It's Esav Sonesi. Ribbono Shel Olam hates Esav and Yitzchak loves Esav. And why? Kitzayit Befiv. I mean, so two of the pshotim of the Ramban over there, Tzayit Befiv, like Yitzchak was always talking about Tzayit, 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 Tzayit. He didn't want anything else to eat. He just loved this venison. And because Esav was the source from which he received his Tzayit, so therefore he loved him. Or even stranger, the last pshot in the Ramban, Ki Tzayit Befiv, he used to call Esav Tzayit. He used to call Esav Tzayit, because since it was Esav who supplied him with a Tzayit, so Esav became associated in his mind with Tzayit, and Yitzchak loved it. So whenever he saw Esav, today you would have had somebody call his son Steakel. Yeah, he likes steaks, and this guy brings home the steak from the hunt. So he calls him maybe with a diminutive, my Steakel is coming along. I mean, what does that mean? What does that mean in the life of Yitzchak? Yitzchak, obvious. So he loves Esav. So first he loved a 3-year-old girl, Rivka, at age 37. He loves Esav, whom Ribbono Shel Olam hates. And the most strange of all, he loves a certain recipe for Tzayit. Yeah, so he goes, when he sends Esav to go hunting, he says, I'm getting older and I want to bless you. So bring me a Tzayit and prepare it the way I love. So he loves a certain recipe for Tzayit. So there's a lot of loving going on over here. And I must say that if you go exactly like a millimeter beneath the surface, it looks very, very strange. Maybe there are other Oyevs. I can't think of them at the moment. But that's what it turns out. He loves a 3-year-old girl. He loves Esav, and he loves a recipe for Tzayit. What do you call those things? A barbecue. It's just a very, very strange. What is going on? Now, I think I never knew pshat in when the Rashi over here that when the Ribbono Shel Olam had already stopped him and he didn't He didn't shecht Yitzchak, and so then he got the ayil, and he shechted the ayil. So the Rabban Hashem said, Ata yodati ki yirei lakim ata. So Yitzchak says, Avraham says, the famous Rashi, which Rashi brings, Afarish es tzichosi. Let me tell you my problems. Let's see, I have it marked over here somewhere to find it. I can't find the Russian, I don't want to spend the time. So what does he say? He says, Esmol Amata that Kib Yitzchak Yikor Lechazara, and now you're telling me, go bring him for a korban, and now you're telling me, don't bring him for, I don't know what's going on. So the Rabban Hashem said, no, I'm not Meshaka, and I'm not going to Meshaka what I said. I didn't say Shachteyu, I said Ha'alehu. That was the Rabban Hashem's answer, that. And it's a little funny, because I think that one of the klolim by a Novi is that a Novi understands his nevuah. I think the Magid Chayas, where he brings the klolim and so on, I think that's one of the klolim. That's why in Yirmiyahu you have this pasha where the people said, Mohamasa, Mohamasa. So the Rabban, they say, they went to Yirmiyahu and they said, what exactly did the Rabban Hashem tell you? So in one pshat Rashi learns, and the Rabban Hashem says they're wicked and they mustn't ask that, and don't let them bully you into Mohamasa. What is your prophecy? So the Rashi in the one pshat over there says that they said, we believe that you misunderstood your prophecy and that you touched it up. It goes through your mind, and I think that the words will yield something other than the prophecy that you said. Please tell us Mohamasa. So the Rabban Hashem says, no, don't. You're not Mechuyev. You understand. When I make you a Novi, I talk to you in such a way that you understand it correctly. And when they have a time of Mohamasa, you don't have to react to that. So what are we saying over here? That Avraham, there's no question. You're going to need a Macheles over there. I mean, there's one hint maybe that, you know, Hashem Yireh Lo Haseh Le'oilo B'ni. So Rashi says, maybe there'll be a Seh, and perhaps that's why he brought the knife, I don't know, because he anticipated that there would be a Seh, and if not, it'll be you, yeah? Hashem Yireh Lo Haseh Le'oilo, and if not, B'ni. But it says, Vayikach Chesam Acheles, so he thought that he's going to have to Shecht Yitzchak. So that means he didn't understand the Nevuah. The Rabban Hashem said Ha'aleu, which is strange, but of course it could be that this is all before Matan Torah, and I have no idea, but it could be very well that the Nevuahs of the Ovas took place at a different level than the Nevuahs of Nevi'im afterwards. I don't know. I don't know an answer to that question. I don't know whether it's a question, but I always understood, and I think now that it's completely incorrect, that when the Rabbi Shalom says, I never said Shachteyu, I said Ha'aleihu, I never meant you to make him into a real oiler. Avada Gevurah is an oiler, you have to shecht, you have to sprinkle the dam and against the pasha. But I never said make him into an oiler. I just said Ha'aleihu, now bring him up on the Mizbeach. For me that's enough, because I saw Kiloish Chosachta, Spinchas Yechid Chomimene. So Mimela, the Nisoyan, you've passed with flying colors. I didn't need that you should actually make him into an Oiler. But I think that's not the pshat. I think now that Yitzchak, as a matter of fact, became an actual Oiler. Now I did a little research on the language of Chazal. And that's how it comes out to me. And we all know the Rashi over here. Behar Hashem Yeroeh, Kedei Shiyoyme HaYoyim HaZeh, B'chol HaDoros HaBoim, Behar Hashem Yeroeh, Afroi Shel Yitzchak. That the ashes of Yitzchak are to be found in the Beis HaMikdash, that the ashes of Yitzchak. Now, what kind of ashes of Yitzchak? He was never shechted, and he was never burnt. So, what does it mean, afroy shel Yitzchak? So, the Rashi says earlier, when he brought the ayel, it says tachas benoy. So, Rashi asks, you already said vayaleihu le'oila. He brought it as an oiler. No, so why did he bring it as an oiler? We thought it was instead of Yitzchak. So why does he have to say Tachas Benoi? It says Tachas Benoi, that on every avoider which he did with the sawyer, he said, Yerotzon, that this should be considered as though I had shechted Yitzchak, as though I had burned Yitzchak, and so on and so forth. So it turns out that the ashes of the sawyer that was burnt could be regarded as the afro shel Yitzchak. Maybe that is what it means, because that Yitzchak wasn't burned, but this was tachas benoi, and Rashi says that tachas benoi doesn't mean anything superficial. It means it was tachas benoi. Now, where did I make this mistake? The mistake which I made, I tell you why I made it. I think that I didn't understand the word v'ha'alehu. Now, it's quite true that v'ha'alehu does not imply v'shoftehu. That is emes. But what does v'ha'alehu mean? V'ha'alehu shom le'oila. Now, I always thought, and maybe some of you also, I don't know, I just don't know, maybe what I'm saying is either it's wrong or maybe it's poshut. But I don't think either of that is true at the moment. I think it's right. And it's not poshut. I think that ha'aleihu means 100% an oiler, meaning that there are two dinim in oiler. There's the oiler of a behema, and there's the oiler of a human being. That when a human being is chosen as an oiler, v'aleihu le'oiler, v'aleihu sham le'oiler. And you should have aleihu shom le'oila. I think it says the Rosh. So he taka became an oiler, meaning that a human oiler doesn't need shrita. See, we have to understand that the mizbeach, bringing something up on the mizbeach, is, and this is what was for me the chiddush when I was thinking about this shir. So I'm sort of in the passion now, because I did some research as much as I could. How much do I know? But that's what came out to me. You know, you find in the Gemara, of course, you never know whether the Loshon of Chazal and the Loshon of the Mikra is the same. I can't tell you that. But the fact is that the Chazal refer the Moshe to the dam that is brought up on the Mizbeach. Now, the dam is not burnt, the dam is sprinkled on the Mizbeach. So the Gemara refers to that as oilen. Here, there's a sukkah over here in Menachos, based on the base, there's a shayla over there on Yom Kippur. They mix the dam with the par, and the soil, they mixed it together. So the question is, why doesn't the dam of the soil, which was much, much, much less than the dam of the par, why doesn't it become bottle in the loiv of the dam of the par? And so the whole thing is only dam of the par, not soil, because the soil loses its identity. And that the Gemara says, Mikan, from the fact that it doesn't lose its identity, the oilen she'ein mevatlen zeh. Two oilen are not mevatle each other. That means that the dam is called an oiler. The dam is called an oiler, though you don't burn the dam, but the doer is an oiler. Now, if I can find the run in the dogim, it touches that up, and just want to see the words. What is he? How does he understand Euler? אלו היינו תאמה דדנה פה אינו מבטל דנה סויה משום דקימן דשניהם אוילן כלומר שקשרים לזריקה אין מבטל זה זה. So אוילן, the dam is called אוילן. Why? Because you do zrika with them, and as long as they're kosher zrika, so they have this common factor that they're both oilin. So that's the verb formed from the same shorosh. Haleu, haleu means you bring him up, and the dam is brought up on the mizbeach. So it's called oilin, and the dam is of course part of the korban. As long as I was thinking of oilem, haleu, what does haleu mean? So what comes to mind? So once you start thinking, comes thinking. So I was back in Yom Kippur. Yale tachanuneinu me'erev v'yovay shavaseinu miboyka v'yeroy v'nuneinu ad orev yale kaleinu yale yinuyenu yale v'nuseinu yale yishenu. Everybody remembers that piyut. So Yale doesn't mean physically bring them up. The Yale means let them come up to you as a korban, let them come up to you as something that is offered to you, our tachanunim, our koil, our inoy, our men, whatever it is. That is what aliyah on the mizbeach means. There are lashonos in the Gemara, for example, that mizbeach is koilet. In other words, bringing it up on the mizbeach and not burning it or not shechting it or whatever it is, it doesn't mean it's just physically there. There is such a thing as being the mizbeach's lechem keilu, and that is called an oile. So I think that what the Rabban Hashem said is your mistake was that you thought that when I said v'aleir Hashem le'oile, I meant Haleo is a general term, and that really you should do to it what you normally do to an oil, namely you shech them with amame. But that's not what I meant. I meant Haleo oil means that a human being who's supposed to be a korban by me, he doesn't need the shvita. And the emphasis is that it's very mistaba. Again, I'm talking as namo, it's in kochim, but in everything really. But the it sounds to me keilu. What it means is that by the animal, so the animal is an animal. So if the animal is an animal, so how does it suddenly become kodesh? How does it suddenly become a korban? So the teretz is, you shech the animal, you take the dam is the nefesh of the animal, and you take the dam and you put the matonas on the mizbeach. So that becomes a korban. Now the whole thing can become a korban, and the emes is you burn the emorim also. But the etzem, that's the dam. By human being, that's not necessary. A human being can be kodesh kadoshim before he ever comes on the mizbeach. Yitzvah govinu. So there's nothing wrong with having him on the mizbeach, being niklat by the mizbeach, being niklat by the mizbeach, and being made into an oiler. That is what I really think that's what we're talking about. There's a klita of the mizbeach, and he became an oiler. Hitaka became an oiler. No, but then, so why did he need the sawyer? Because I mean, the office writer, I guess, of Avraham, that. And Avraham had been prepared to go through this unbelievable Mesiras Nefesh of actually killing Yitzchak. So he wanted at least a dogma for that. Yeah, I mean, let me at least go through the actions which I thought I would have to go through with Yitzchak. And that way I'll say by each thing, this should be Ki'ilu, I did it to Yitzchak, this should be Ki'ilu, I did it to Yitzchak, and maybe you end up with the Afresh Shel Yitzchak. But that is, I think, what is happening over here. And that is why Yitzchak is called an Oilat Tmima, and that is why Yitzchak wasn't allowed to go to Chutz La'aretz, because it becomes Nifsud B'Yotze, as Eidos. Yitzhak became an Ayla. Now, what are the halachas of that Ayla? Obviously, the halachas of a human Ayla are different to the halachas of an animal Ayla. But that is what Yitzhak became, and that is who Yitzhak became. Ayla always means that. Ayla means, for example, if she comes from a rich house and he's a poor house, the husband. So the din is Ayla imoy ve'ena yoredes imoy. In other words, if she came from a rich house, she doesn't have to live at his standards. He has to give her the standards that she's used to. If she's poor and he's rich, so he has to go Ayla imoy. Ayla means to become part of. It doesn't just mean a physical act of lifting something from down here to up there. I think that is really what is happening. Now, I want to know, before we get to this question of Yitzchak loving these strange loves, does it make sense what I'm saying? I mean, is there such a thing as of such a kedusha that a person can have such a kedusha? It's very, very, very strange. What kind of kedusha is that? Let's say that I'm right and that Yitzchak Taka became an Oila. Like, what is the nature of his kedusha? So I think, again, I can't prove it, it's not a chazal, maybe it is, but I don't know it. Maybe it's not. And maybe there are other hesberim. I simply don't know. But the emes is that I think that a dogma to Yitzchak becoming an oiler, that means actually having kedusha, and the kedusha tailored to the matzav of a human oiler, of which the Torah normally doesn't speak. It talks about an animal oiler, and there the Yisuri Hanora and Ahin and Aher are that which is appropriate to an animal oiler. Could be that the human oiler is also an oiler and is also kodesh, but his halachas are different halachas. Is there a dogma to that? Is there a dogma to a sanctity of a human being, which is not the sanctity of a korban, but it's the sanctity of the Beis HaMikdash, where korbanos are brought? And I think that yes, there is such a dogma, and that is the sugya of Erchen. That when a person says Erki Olai or Erech Kleini Olai, so the Rishonim do say that a kedusha is chal. This is all very interesting, and I don't want this shiur now to go and become a shiur on Erchen, although I've learned it a little bit recently, so I know a little bit about it. But that's not what I want to get bogged down with over here. But the question is like this. A person says Erki Olai. So what does that mean? So the Torah says that depending on gender and age, you're going to have to give so and so much money to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Gizbe of the to Berakabais. So I never understood that. I never thought about it so much. But even when I did think about it, I didn't understand it. It looked to me that it makes absolutely no difference to the person at all. It makes no difference. It's just a means of making a donation to the Beis HaMikdash. When I say Erki Olai, and I am the right age, and I happen to be a Zocher, so if I'm between 20 and 60, whatever it is, I think it's 50 Shkolim, and I have to give 50 Shkolim to Beis HaMikdash. So what do you need to go through the whole rigmarole? Well, if you want to give a donation to Beis HaMikdash, take out your checkbook, give him a $50, and that's it. Is there anything happening over here? Chazon Ish, in Erchen, he taka had such a havamina, it's not anything. It doesn't mean anything, and it's just a means of giving money. So it's very strange, and he comes out that it's a doichik. So he comes out that it's not that way. He says it's not that way. He says, Loshen over here, the Nivet, the Inyan of Echen, She'ena Chayef Midin Neda, es a sacha kotzov. Chasnish comes out that you say Erki Olai. Let's give it simple. Erki Olai. So you're this old and this gender, so you have to give this amount. What if you don't give it? Yahweh Bal Yachal has this. You're making a neder to give kesef to the Beis HaMikdash, and if you don't give it, so that's Bal Yachal. Zokta Chazon Ish, no. That's not the case. V'nira de'inyan ha'echen she'en ha'chayiv midin neder es ha'sach ha'kotzov. No, that's not true. It's got nothing to do with neder on the money. Elo shehu nitfas b'mitzvah so'echen. When he says Erki Olai, he is nitfas in what an era stands for, we'll soon see that. Ukeinion hat fosses nazirus. Umischaye vimitzis hat teuro betashlume hoechen. Veena oiver belav de val yachel. De haver kehisna shaloye nitfas beneder. In the safe, I think he stells it to nausea. When you make a neder, you want to become a nausea. So you're not allowed to drink wine. What if you drink wine and you're over bal yachel? He says no. Because you were becoming your neder. Your neder was to become a nozer. Now you become a nozer. Why aren't you allowed to drink wine? Because it's a halacha that a nozer is not allowed to drink wine. So, but that's not your neder. Your neder is to become a nozer. So he says exactly the same thing over here. The neder is, I'm going to be nitfas in Erchen. We'll soon see what that means. I'm going to be nitfas in Erchen. What's the din if once somebody is nitfas in Erchen? The din is that he has to pay, kilo like a pigeon kind of thing. So what happens to the person? So the Chazon Ish himself is not masbir, at least I didn't see it. So, but I did find these two makoros. The one is the Shilta Geborgim in Avodah Zarah, Yud Gimel Omed Aleph, the Shilta Geborgim. Gam ha'omer Erki Olai Maktish Shapir Kli Yodua. It's like he's Maktish a certain Kli. The Heine Gufoi, the Atzmoi, Shehu Makdishoi. He's Makdish himself. Eloshu Podeo Achakach Miyad Hektish Bidmei Erkoi. In other words, just like when I make a nadel, I should be a nausea, I become a nausea. And the din of a nausea is that he's not supposed to drink wine. When I say Erki Olai, I'm saying I'm being Makdish myself. And the Torah says that when you have this Kedusha, we'll see in a moment what that Kedusha might be. When you have this Kedusha, so then your chiyuv is to be poided by giving a certain sum of money to the Rebbeinu Bayis. Now, similar statements can be found in the Beis Yosef and the Shulchan Aruch Rav to Aruch Chaim 306. Now, I did find I didn't look in the Shulchan Aruch Rav, but I found it in the Beis Yosef. So there it talks about, making the nedarim on Shabbos. How are you allowed to make the nedarim on Shabbos when you get an aliyah and you make a neder, yitain matonel beis haknesses or something, yeah? Why are you allowed to do that? So the answer is, shloi asru elo lehakdesh kli yodua, mishum demechzu kimekach omemka, aval loi asru lechayiv atzma bediburoi ligvoya. Vadain ein noyachli, but he says, I still don't understand that. To ho ein ma'arichin, you're not allowed to make echen on Shabbos. Why not? There's lav kli yoduahu, vafilo hocha also. He's quoting somebody on that. So the Beis Yosef answers, v'nira li de ma'arich dome shapir lemekach omemka. De have ke koine ish ze. He is being menadev himself, and that is dumya to make a romemka. Now, what can that possibly mean? So the Alshech is in Bechukaisa, and he's where you have the Pasha Vechen at the end, and he says ki al kein oma eki olai leman tochol kedusha al atzmai me en kol dovo shehuktas. The nifte shlo yivotso melochul boy kedusha mehechen loy hachona lehanik atzma bekedusha kaime beliboy eni asher hu yisi at kol ki ato huktash de la shamayim venosati erki lashem. He says that when you say erki alai, you are becoming holy. and I guess a whole bunch of responsibilities are hal on him. And the halacha is, I don't want you to remain in this holy state, I want you to be paidit, but you still have a residue of that kedusha, and that's who you are after you said Erki Olai. So there is a mocker in the Torah of a human being having a kedusha, a human being having a kedusha, just like a korban. Now the halachas are different, but it's doima to meka for memka. We're saying that. That's what the Beis Yosef is saying. The reason why you're not allowed to make an erech on Shabbos is because it's doima to meka for memka. You are giving a person to the Rebbeinu Shlom. Do you know what that sounds like? That sounds like Chana with Shmuel. That is exactly what it is. Where did Chana get this idea from, that she has a right to make such a neder concerning her son? I think that perhaps the Mokah is the Pasha of Arachin, and that is what was a Shteitaten, that there is. Now that's not a halacha dika kedusha. I don't think there's a Shulchan Aruch anywhere which says exactly what does that kedusha impose on the person. I don't know that it says that, but it is a kedusha. So a kedusha can be chal on the person. If the kedusha is chal on the person, he has to be paid with a requisite amount of money, but the kedusha lingers in some form. That's a moralistic thing. So I think that is what happened over here by the Akedah, and all the Chazalim point to that. I mean, the whole thing. I mean, we say that the ayil was there tachas benoy. That ayil wasn't the portion to ayil. There's the Medrash HaGadol. Nechas basvach umipneima ayil veloy shoyer veloy eiz. Why did the Rebbeinu Shlom send an ayil over there and not a shoyer, not an eiz? Elo mishum sheyesh bo sheva mitzvahs. Shtei kanov, shtei chatzoitzvahs. Ushnei shoykov, lishnei chalilin. They made the chalilin from his thighs. Ve'oiroi, the soif, those were the drums. Umeyov le'nevolim. Uvenei meyov le'kinoiroiz. The ayil was one big shiro to the Rebbeinu Shlom. That is what this medrash is saying. This ayil, when it was brought to the Mizbeach, this was the shiro which accompanied some korbanos, the kronos and the chatzoitzrois and the chalilin and the toif and the nevolim, kinoiros. The music, you can imagine the music that went up when that ayil was brought on the Mizbeach. Was it us? Where did that music come from? It was celebrating Yitzchak. The ayil understood, or whatever it is at the Medrash level, it was understood that this was tachas benoy, that this was to provide the element of Mesilas Nefesh, which was absent after the Rebbeinu Shlom had told them not to do it. And so that hakdosha ki'ilu of Yitzchak was such a wonderful thing, was such a glorious experience, that was heavenly music. That was what the ayil was. This akedah was not a poshtes achav, I said. That's what I think. Now, don't want to go on too far, but what I'm leading up to is like these strange loves of Yitzchak, loving Rivka as a 3-year-old girl, loving Esau from the Rebbeinu Shlom hates, loving a certain recipe for preparing venison. Now what's going on with Yitzchak? So many loves. I think that the pshat is that's what happens when you're an Oyla Tumima. Well, Yitzchak, after he was brought on the Mizbeach, he taka became Kuloi Kodesh. He became from the Elyonim. He had been brought as an oiler to the Rebbeinu Shlom. Korban is coming close. Yitzchak became somebody who belonged into the Olamos HaElyonim. And Mimele, everything that he meets, he loves, because he sees it with different eyes than we see it. We see it, this is a 3-year-old girl, this is a, what was the other thing, Esav. Yeah, this is venison. And Yitzchak saw differently. This is Rotzen Hashem. This is Rotzen Hashem. This is Rotzen Hashem. I love it. I see now, why did you need an Esav? Why did the Hashgacha fear that I should marry Rivka in this situation, a 37-year-old man marrying a 3-year-old girl? Why am I so eager for this, tzayet? I'm eager for the tzayet. Yes, it's true. The whole day I talk tzayet, 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 the Ramban. Or I call Esav tzayet. Because when I eat this tzayet, the Vatishra of Ruach Hashem, this is a malach eating this tzayet. I think that I'm not far off the mark. So think it over, and if you can agree with anything that I said, so I'll be happy, and together we hammer together something which is at least related to a possible MS.